Yes. At the Cimarron Senior Center, chair exercise at 9 a.m., puzzles pull, and lots of other stuff from 8:30.
All right. A beautiful day in Raton, America. Mostly blue skies, 67 degrees. And into the studios this morning comes City Commissioner Chris Candelario and our Mayor Charles Starkovich are here this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, good morning, Billy.
Good morning. Well, water and electricity, two of the most important things on Earth. India just had their big power outage, 620 million people or something without power. So it's important.
It's important.
And this, the issue has become very important. I can't think of anything that has grabbed more attention here as of late in our community. And so tonight there's going to be a special Raton City Commission meeting at 6 p.m.
Well, that's correct. We have a City Commission meeting, public hearing tonight. It was precipitated by a business venture that we were looking at 2-3 months ago, and that caused us to step back and try to fix our electric ordinance that our attorney said that was out of compliance with state law. That's what started the whole ball rolling in all of this. But in the interim, you know, we got to do what we got to do. So that's what the public hearing is all about. And so we're here today with Mayor Pro Tem Chris Candelario to I want to go over the rules of the public hearing tonight. And Mr. Candelario has got some other remarks.
Yeah, good. I was wondering what the format was going to be tonight, if the public would be allowed to speak, and those format rules, too.
Well, one of the things we're looking at, too, is the overwhelming interest in this issue, naturally, is that when we originally advertised, we advertised for the city chambers. And you have to have a minimum of a two-week advertisement for a public hearing. And due to space limitations, we weren't able, because we were within that two-week time frame, to reschedule to another location. In other words, we had to start all over in re-advertising. So we're still looking at that issue, even going into tonight's meeting. And we're also looking at the specter of possibly having a second hearing at the Schuler. And we just don't know how it's going to evolve today. And then it depends upon how many people sign up to speak and all of that. But
okay.
we certainly need to and must accommodate all the citizens so that the public, because it is a public hearing, need to be accommodated. And because of the overwhelming interest, we may need to move to another facility, but you just can't arbitrarily move to another facility when you advertise within a two-week period at a certain location. So we probably will need to have a second public hearing on this, but we're going to work out those details and make that appropriate announcement tonight.
Okay, so tonight definitely at the City Commission chambers there'll be overflow area, maybe some chairs set up. I know there was some comments people couldn't hear out in the hall at the last time, so hopefully some accommodations will be made.
Right,
we're
presently trying to accommodate you know, all of that, but I wanted to come in and mention that, and Mayor Pro Tem Candelario's got some comments, but I wanted to, if you would, for the people, go over the rules regardless.
Okay. Now, this is a special Raton City Commission meeting, so and the public hearing is on the ordinances 731 and 942. Now, so do the regular rules apply? My question is do you have to sign up by noon if you want to speak?
Well, there are certain rules for regular meetings, but then there are certain rules for a formal public hearing.
Okay.
So there's two sets of rules.
All right.
So I wanted to come in and clarify that. And if
okay.
I may, let me just
please
read some of the rules, and then I'll defer to Mayor Pro Tem Candelario. Of course, a person may register either in person or by telephone, and may register by noon of the day of the regular meeting. That's noon of today. Okay. Speakers must address their comments to the presiding officer, which will be the mayor. or the commission as a whole, and should not address any specific city commission member or staff member by name. That's very important. You must maintain the professional decorum of the proceedings. This is not personal. You have to address your comment to the ordinance and the structure.
And this, in part, because no one person should be singled out and attacked.
Exactly.
Is what that is. So if anybody wants to speak generally, then they need to sign up by today at noon.
Correct.
On any subject.
There's other stipulations.
Right. Okay.
A person who addresses the commission during a public hearing, which we have tonight, must limit remarks to the specific subject matter being considered by the commission. In other words, if you come in and you want to talk about the Aquatic Center tonight, the gavel is going to come down and you will not be allowed to speak tonight at the public hearing on the Aquatic Center, for instance. That's an example. In other words, the public hearing tonight is specifically to the ordinance. So you must speak to the ordinance or you will not be allowed to speak on any other matter. That's a formal public hearing according to the Open Meetings Act and the Attorney General's office. Now, with that, in March, we passed Resolution 2012-11 from the City Commission in March, and I'm going to read with all deference the public hearing procedure. Reasonable efforts shall be made to give notice of public hearings to all interested people. Notice of public hearing shall state the subject, time, and place of the public hearing, which we've done, the manner in which interested people may express their views, and where interested people may obtain copies of the material that is subject of the hearing. That was posted in the newspaper. B, at the beginning of the public hearing, the presiding officer, which will be the mayor, shall require that all interested persons who have an immediate, pecuniary, or direct interest that shall be substantially and specifically affected by the proceeding and witnesses sponsored by such interested person wishes to address must register with the city clerk, giving their names and addresses, and whether they wish to speak as a proponent or a opponent or otherwise. Any person who fails to register shall not be permitted to speak until, and this is very important in a public hearing, until all those who signed in have spoken.
Okay.
So, you see, in a formal public hearing, you got to sign up. Those people who sign up and will be taken first.
And that's before the meeting begins at 7?
That's before the meeting begins at 7.
Okay.
Now, if you haven't signed up during the meeting and you decide, you know what, I want to speak, then you can get up, but you got to wait your turn until all those who originally signed up spoke.
Okay.
So it's the order of the day.
Okay.
Then C, all interested persons offering testimony as parties to the proceeding and their witnesses will be sworn by the city clerk and are subject to cross-examination by other parties, city staff, or of the governing body. So if we want to ask questions of the speakers as they're speaking, we can. D, the presiding officer, which will be the mayor, may change the order of speakers so that the testimony is heard in the most logical groupings. For instance, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. All those in favor of, all those against, I want to get a visual show of hands. And then I can say, okay, well, I want to have one for pro, con, pro, con, pro, con, or however, so that maybe everybody is heard, okay? So that's the order of the speakers. And then E, the presiding officer, will introduce the item. I'm going to introduce the item, and I'm going to open it up. I'll open up the public hearing and then call upon the staff, the city staff, and the commissioners for any comments to submit its report into evidence and request the proponents to describe the matter under consideration. And then F, interested persons shall have the opportunity to submit their data, their views, their arguments, you know, as they sign up and as they come forward to speak at the podium. And then G, the presiding officer may establish reasonable speaker time limits. Now, under regular rules, you can have up to a maximum of 5 minutes. But under the public hearing views, and I'm going to read it again, the presiding officer may establish reasonable speaker time limits. Now, reasonable, in my opinion, if you have 1,000 people out there at 5 minutes, it'll take into the middle of the night. My point being is I'm going to see, and I'll make that determination tonight upon advice with the other commissioners, what's reasonable. It might be 3 minutes is reasonable instead of five, but that's under the public hearing portion of our resolution. And then the lastly, H, after the city commission has heard all the evidence, the presiding officer, that'll be myself, closes the public hearing and entertains a motion. Then following the motion and its second, discussion amongst the commissioners will commence at that point in time. So those are the rules.
Okay. So the public hearing, deliberation, and you can take action tonight.
We could if we wanted to.
You can if so desired. Okay.
If so desired.
Okay. Very good. And then again, if you want to speak, you need to sign up, and then those people for the public hearing will be given the first chance to speak. But everyone will be given a chance to speak. If you don't sign up, though, you'll be at the back of the line.
You'll be at the back of the line, but this is a public hearing, and that's the free and open democratic process, and we're going to hear everybody who wants to speak regardless.
Okay. I imagine you'll have a large crowd on hand tonight. Mayor Pro Tem Chris Candelario, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
How are you today?
Very, very good.
Okay.
Que buen día que te dé Dios.
Okay.
It's a good day that God has given us.
Absolutely. We could use a little rain, though.
Oh,
that's for sure.
Yes. We'll pray for that. Good morning, Bill. I'd like to thank all of the silent majority of Raton for all of the calls that I have been receiving supporting the Raton City Commission on the Raton Public Service issue. I got my utility bill yesterday, and I would like to ask all of you to take out your bill and to look at it. My bill for electricity is $54, and the bill for fuel and purchase power, which is based on a 9.1 cent per kilowatt hour, was $84. Together, they amounted to $134, give or take. Now, take your bill and deduct 10% from your electrical bill. In my case, that would be $13.40. That, my friends, is what we wanted to reduce your bill by. Can this be done? Ask the RPS manager if it is possible. Now take your bill again and look at it again. Reduce it by 30%, which in my case is about $40. That, Mr. and Mrs. Ratepayer, is what we feel your electrical bill can be reduced by once the plan that the City Commission has been working on is in effect. Enough about that. I would like to address the letter in the paper the other day about the City Commission eliminating RPS jobs. We plan to hire more people at higher rates of pay. As an example, Mr. Starkovich asked the RPS board to increase the pay of the lower paid RPS line employees by 5%. The board only gave them 2%. Ask the board why. When we were installed as commissioners, the city was short on money. Then the track fire occurred. This was the first time the commission asked RPS for money to help the city. The answer was no. Mr. Starkovich, Mr. Segata asked again, and again they refused. Last week, Mrs. Mance asked them to find 2% savings in their budget to help our city. The answer was no. Why? Ask the board of directors. We are a family type of community where we help each other. Each other's misfortunes are felt by the all. Why did you not help us, RPS? The city manager, along with the city commissioners and the city employees, have worked together to find the money for next year's budget. We have met our requirements. A word about Mr. Pete Kempfer. One of the reasons we hired Mr. Kempfer was that he was previously the manager in Tucumcari. He almost took the Racino away from Raton. His business and political connections and his no-nonsense business ethic give the city of Raton a very, very good chance of landing the Racino. The Raton Public Service, in my vision, is one piece of a large puzzle that will make Raton the great business center that it should be. We, the commission, and the city manager are concentrating on putting together the other parts of the puzzle. The city commission, along with Grow Raton, Main Street, the Chamber of Commerce, and all the city of Raton resources, except Raton Public Service Board of Directors, are pulling together as a community to save our community. We are laying the groundwork to attract more industry, leading to more jobs. Silent majority of Raton, we need your support. Please voice your opinion at the first public hearing being held tonight at 6 p.m. in the City of Raton Chambers. Raton Public Service Directors, let's show the state of New Mexico that we can work together to make Raton the best place in the world to live in. Thank you, KRTN and Bill Donati, for your consideration.
Mayor Pro Tem Chris Candelario, okay. I'm connected also with this, but we try to be as on the fence as we can. And, of course, this affects all of us, as we said, water and electricity. And this ordinance will also affect the Raton Waterworks, too. As a matter of fact, that's tonight as well, correct?
May or may not. That depends upon what the court rules. That's a misconception.
Okay, that's why I'm asking.
It just depends upon what the court rules. We got the ordinance into court, and that's very important because I'm not an attorney. No one on the city commission is an attorney. No one on the board of directors is an attorney. No one who is on the Raton Waterworks is an attorney. And in this case, only a judge is going to rule. Mm-hmm. And when you have, what's the old saying, when you get into a dogfight and you got two people wanting to swing fists at each other, you got to have a mediator. Somebody always steps in. What does the Bible say? Go to the person who you have a disagreement with. And if you can't, you got to go to the elders. Well, in our system of government, it's the judicial branch of our Constitution. So we got it where it needs to be so that determination can be made. Based upon the judicial determination, then we'll be able to look across the fence at Waterworks and see, now, does this ordinance, is it affected or not, based upon the judicial ruling? So that's a misconception and, in my opinion, just a scare tactic under the circumstances.
Well, And just, I'm not an attorney. I'm not an economic pro. You know, I don't know about economic development. I'm not a whiz in that. Just from being a citizen, I think everyone is kind of wondering, you know, why did we have to sue ourselves? I think that is what it is. And I know people on the Raton Public Service Board and people on the Raton Waterworks Board, you know, great business people, great people. In our community, and the Raton City Commission, you're looking out for the good of the people of Raton too as well. So it's just kind of a interesting situation. I think that most people don't understand why it had to be taken to this. Maybe in today's climate, that just might be.
Well, I can answer that question very clearly. When you look across the table at the other board of directors, and you say our attorneys are saying that our current ordinance does not conform to state law, and they laugh at you, well, how can you come to a consensus?
Well, and I think that many people are wondering if that isn't just a part of the strategy to take control of this. And you know, we talked about this yesterday, Charles. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help you. And that kind of causes a lot of concern for a lot of people. And, you know, it's scary when something that has worked and been stable, now we're in a mode of change here. And, there are game-changing things that are going to happen. The City Commission has said that there are some proposals and some business ventures out that are looking at this, and this would be one way to help secure some economic factors, et cetera, for the city of Raton. Well, again, I'm no expert in the nuances, et cetera, and the technicalities. I just wish and hope we can resolve this to the best situation and solution for everyone involved, and I hope we're right.
Let me put it to you this way. When the U.S. Constitution was started over 200 and some years ago, did women have the right to vote? No. Change was hard. We had to go through a suffrage movement in our country in order to gain the right to vote for women. Just because something has worked for 80 or 90 years doesn't make it right. And it's never been challenged until it was brought to our attention because of another business venture. And that's what the people need to sit back and analyze and think about.
Very good. And that's what tonight is for. It's a public hearing tonight.
It's a public hearing.
Okay. Very good. And that will be at 6 p.m. tonight. We'll have that on KRTN AM 1490.
May I mention one thing, Mr. Donati?
Sure.
Geneva Trujillo. If you're listening out there, Ms. Trujillo, you have our love, our respect, and the best interests at heart. We hate to see you go. It's unfortunate that Ms. Trujillo is leaving us under these circumstances. She's been under a lot of stress. But, Geneva, if you're listening out there, from myself and Commissioner Candelario, God bless you. We've spoken in private about your exit. I respect you. And what else can I say? You're going to be missed and a very valuable component to our organization and our city. But Godspeed, Geneva Trujillo.
We have some very, very fine people and good people in our area, for sure.
I'd like to add to that a little bit here. Geneva has, when I first came in, I had a terrible time. Had terrible time reading the financials. I still do. But she took a lot of time to go step by step over a lot of these items and bring me up to speed. Geneva, we'll miss you. Thank you for your help.
Okay, yeah, there are a lot of intricate issues, that is for sure. Public hearing is tonight, 6 p.m., and that will be at Raton City Commission meeting chambers, and you'll need to sign up if you want to speak before, but you don't have to sign up for the public hearing portion, but you will be at the last of the line if you do not sign up before the meeting starts. So, again, we'll broadcast that 6 p.m. tonight on KRTN Raton, New Mexico. It's 8:32 a.m. here in the Rocky Mountain West, and we'll be back with more guests, more information on our program, This, That, and the Other, brought to you in part by Park Avenue Insurance.
Hello out there. It's me, the voice of reason. Oh, don't pretend you don't recognize me. You've heard me plenty of times before inside your head. I'm here on the radio to make amends. You know, in the past, I might have talked you out of some stuff that could have been fun, like going to Europe after graduation so you could stay home and send out resumes. I know, bad call. But I've turned a corner. From now on, I say carpe diem, every single diem. Live your life. Do more. Of course, I'm not saying go crazy. Protect your stuff, preferably with Safeco Insurance. With Safeco, an independent agent will help you get the coverage you need for the life you want. So go for it. Drive with the top down. Go on vacation in an RV. Get the house by the lake. And whether it's a home, car, motorcycle, boat, or all of the above, you'll get a rate that's incredibly reasonable. Safeco Insurance. Do more. Coverage by Safeco Insurance Company of American Affiliates, Seattle, Washington.
Visit Park Avenue Insurance in downtown Raton at 210 Park Avenue or phone 445-2768, 445-2768 for Park Avenue Insurance. 8:33 a.m. here in the Rocky Mountain West, and coming into the studios is Bob Baudette is here this morning. Good morning, Bob. How you doing?
Good morning, Billy. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. We live in a wonderful place. Gorgeous.
Yes, we do.
Blue skies, 70 degrees here at the studios. And again, we have an important thing happening this evening, and I'm assuming you're here to speak about the meeting tonight.
Yeah, how did you know that?
Well, just things get around in a small town.
Well, yes, we, you know, we listened to the mayor on the radio yesterday, and we have some pretty serious disagreements with everything that he had to say, and I just listened to him this morning again, and they're just... you know, he came in yesterday with this laughing attitude, and that they've already moved on down the road with this issue with RPS, and I got to tell the mayor to, he needs to back up that laughing express, because that train has not left the station yet. There are so many issues here going on right now, you know, one of the things he talked about was a public hearing tonight and the rules for speaking, and he talked about changing the venue. Well, I know for a fact that he was called yesterday by the Attorney General's office, and he was told, or someone in his office was told, about the open meeting rules, which they have been violating over and over and over again. You know, they just, you know, they'd want to preach about how open they are and everything. But we, the people, don't believe that at all. We think that they're trying to hide something from us, but we don't know what they're trying to hide.
Well, let's yeah.
Go ahead.
Let's not make charges, et cetera,
no,
and do that.
You're right.
Let's just stick to the facts here.
You're right. But, you know, they passed a commission code in March, you know. And one of the things that they passed was... that the commission has a responsibility to represent the citizens. Okay, fine. The commission, and it goes on to say, the commission represents all citizens and is uniquely positioned to connect the priorities and issues of the citizens to the policies of the municipality. Further, the commission has a responsibility to engage or to encourage participation to represent priorities and strategies to the city and solicit citizen input. We don't believe they're doing that. You know, another thing Mr. Candelario mentioned this morning was about the silent majority. We don't think there's a majority there at all that is being silent. I have right here over 1,300 signatures, and I'll even show them to you, Billy, of people who oppose the revocation of Ordinance 942 and 731, and there's about 1,300 signatures there, and we have more that are coming in. I don't know what the final total is going to be, but hopefully by this afternoon I'll know more. But Mr. Candelario mentioned that about the 2% issue, that the city had asked for 5%. Well, the city had asked RPS to increase that distribution by 5%, but they can't do that. They are locked in by Ordinance 942, and they just can't arbitrarily dish over another 5% to the city. They talk about...
Now,
go ahead, Bill.
Bob, are you on the RPS board?
No, I'm not on the RPS board.
Okay, all right.
I've been very close contact with the people on the board.
Okay, and I understand, and you... mentioned that the issues here are so complex and there are so many tentacles on this octopus here. I would prefer that you address this as a citizen of Raton and not speak for it. Well, they can't do... They can't.
Okay.
I mean, what effect as a citizen? I mean, why as a citizen are you against this?
Well, I have read all the statutes, you know, and I, you know, I would rather be up there at the lake fishing right now. I don't want to be here trying to speak on behalf of the citizens, but somebody's got to, and I just can't help but get involved. I have read all the statutes. They do not have to, the city commission does not have to do this, what they're doing. They do not have to try to liquidate RPS. The statute is very clear. That the that this says they may, that the city may institute a municipality board. It doesn't say they have to.
Not shall.
It does not say shall. Okay. It says they may. They are doing this by choice. And by doing this by choice, they are causing a lot of trouble here in the city. They have not met with the board of directors
again.
Okay, again. And I know you're going to say okay, but the opportunities have been. I mean, they just went straight to get an attorney. They're suing RPS. RPS had to get an attorney to fight back. And who's paying that bill is us, the citizens. And
well,
we think that whole thing is
ridiculous. That was my question. You know, why do we have to sue ourselves? And
yeah.
it just you know, we've got some solid people on all boards and the city commission too. It's just that as we live in the world that we live in, I think the litigation is going to become more and more and more to try and get these different interpretations
yes.
of the law. And you know, lawyers, they're a necessary thing, but again, you know, we the people are paying on both sides.
And, right. Right.
And, yeah. and I just wonder why that this could not come to some sort of a solution. So
wondering that.
Well, I think that you know, the mayor and Commissioner Candelario, Mayor Pro Tem Candelario, they addressed that and why they thought that was the particular point. So we don't have any knowledge of those discussions and how that really, really happened. So, I mean,
that's exactly right. It's a one-sided discussion. We don't know where they're coming from.
Well, and certainly, you know, Stability, RPS, Raton Waterworks, you know, instability has been the city government, and not necessarily with this commission. This commission has done a great job, I think, and the instability with the recalls, et cetera. So, you know, if outside businesses are looking for stability in our businesses and in our utilities and in city government, then the city government, you know, it's been less stable, et cetera. And it's a very, very complex issue. Very complex. And, you know, you've got 1,300 signatures here. So apparently a big chunk of the citizens, you know, are wondering what is going on.
Yes,
and
they
so
are.
That's
and they call me. You know, a lot of citizens are calling me at home, asking me questions, which I don't have answers to, you know. And I'm trying to find out answers.
Well, maybe we can get answers then tonight.
Well, we're hoping to get answers okay. tonight. One way, you know, one of the things that we really object to is the way the commission is going about doing this. And apparently it looks like they've already eliminated or they're in the process of eliminating the sanitation department.
It's history.
Yeah. Well, it may be history. They're also eliminating. They want to eliminate the RPS and then the water board. What they're doing is eliminating the power base in Raton. They are trying to. Well, let me say that America was built on separation of powers. It was not built on consolidation of powers. And you know, when you eliminate your competition and you centralize all the power in your hands and you eliminate a coordinated and cooperating body, those are elements. Now, this is going to sound real harsh, but those are elements of the Third Reich. And, you know, it's not going to. Now, I know that sounds like an extreme position, mm-hmm. but it's true. Those are elements of the Third Reich.
Well, control
is. We don't want anything like that.
Control is a key issue, and you know, it seems that some control by dividing and conquering,
uh-huh.
and some others recruit and multiply. And so, you know, the divide and conquer, I think, is very wrong. I think
Absolutely.
We have a good enough brain trust here
mm-hmm.
to make this happen and to make all of our assets work for us.
Yeah, and a successful government is a government of checks and balances. And if you eliminate the board from RPS, everything comes under the purview of this city commission, and the city commission will run all the utilities. They will allow all the powers. And let's say somebody wants to come into town, and they have different entities that they have to deal with. Well, they won't have different entities. They will deal with specific people on the commission because that's where all the power lies, and we don't think that is the proper way to run the government. So
Well, I might just say with the Raton Sanitation, you know, they have privatized it, and the rates were doubled. Then they were privatized. Now, again, I'm no expert. There are probably many advantages. You know, they're a new corporate business, the new sanitation company, less expense for the city. You know, there are advantages, but again, we lose that control of being able to set the rates.
That's right.
In the contract, it stipulates pricing could be adjusted annually.
Yeah.
So, you give, but you hope to get, and definitely control is the issue. And so,
and we want that control to be spread out. We don't want that control in the hands of just a few people. Like I say, if a new business tries to come to town, the new business can be shown a lot of favorites and that we won't know about. You know, maybe if they come on into town, we'll give you free utilities for a year.
Well, again, you're speculating. Again.
I know, I am speculating, but that is a possibility when all the control ends up in one central point and there's not other people there to do the checks and balances. So we do have to have a system of checks and balances. And we do have to have a system where all the power is not consolidated at one point. And separation of powers is what this country was built on. And it's been successful for us for 237 years or so. And we think it's still working today.
Okay. Bob Beaudet, thank you very much.
And thank you, Billy. Appreciate your time here
okay.
on the radio
today. The group We the People.
We the People.
All right. Thank you much. 8:45 a.m. here in the Rocky Mountain West. We, the people of KRTN Radio, thank you for listening. 8:45 a.m. on a gorgeous day, 70 degrees. It is hot outside. I was here at the station last night at about 10 o'clock, and it was still 80 degrees last night at 10 o'clock. Our morning low, 62, we're up to 70, probably get to the lower to mid-90s, a possibility of tying or breaking the all-time record, which sits at 94 degrees, and that record was established 1972. Here at the studios of KRTN, so it has stood the test of 40 years. Again, we'll be back with more guests, more information on our program. Our This, That, the Other Time is 8:47.
Bring out the natural beauty of wood decks, trim, and siding with Woodsman Oil and Acrylic Stain from RBS True Value Building Materials in Raton and Angel Fire. It not only restores the look of wood, but also protects it against fading, weathering, and mildew. And it comes with a lifetime warranty. Solid color oil stain is only $27.99. Semi-transparent oil and semi-transparent acrylic stains are $29.99. And solid color acrylic stain is only $39.99 a gallon, while supplies last. Stop in today. And now that summer is in full swing, keep cool with a 27-inch West Point oscillating tower fan from RBS True Value Building Materials in Raton and Angel Fire. Right now, it's only $17.99 while supplies last. This slim, contemporary design is perfect for small spaces. It features 3-speed settings and oscillates to move air efficiently throughout the entire room. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy the cool breeze. For this and other incredible bargains of the month, hurry into RBS True Value Building Materials in Raton and Angel Fire. Start right, start here.
All right, let's dive on in here. It's going to be Fiesta 2012. It's beginning this Friday and then going Saturday and Sunday. And the St. Patrick, St. Joseph's Catholic Church at the parish headquarters and everywhere over there, there's a big tent city over there set up. As a matter of fact, it's probably mostly set up right now, or they're still feverishly working on it. The barbecue will start it off on Friday at 6 p.m., and then followed by open mic karaoke. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Are you going to get on out there?
Well, maybe it's your last day, you'll do some karaoke for us.
Oh, I can.
Okay. Maybe like the last thing.
You should.
Oh, listen to her.
I know.
You should.
You should.
What about you? All right. You should go to the barbecue at least. Advance tickets are $8 for adults and $4 for children 10 and under. Those advance tickets there at the St. Patrick St. Joseph's Catholic Church office or at the First National Loan Production office. You can call 445-9763 for tickets for the barbecue or for raffle tickets. The raffle drawing ends the fiesta on Sunday, August 5th, with $16,000 in cash prizes to be given away. In between Friday night and Sunday afternoon, all sorts of games and food and entertainment and bingo, silent auction. They'll have a bakery. They have a run walk. The 5K walk run starts at 5:30 with registration on Saturday. Walkers at 6:30, runners at 7. They even this year have a two-block course for the 3 to 5-year-olds, and that starts at 8:30 a.m. That night, Saturday night, it will be a free dance. Miguel Timoteo y Suavidad will be doing the music 7 to 11. And then Sunday, games and food and entertainment from 11 to 4. The Texaco Country Showdown from noon to 3. And then, of course, the raffle drawing, Fiesta 2012, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Also on August 4th, that's this Saturday, there's the Baca Bloom Children's Day at the Farmers Market. It's from 8 a.m. to noon. Children's and youth organizations have fun activities for the whole family. It's at the Trinidad Community Farmers Market held at Chimino Park. Thank you. It is a free event in conjunction with First Lady Michelle Obama's Let's Move Museums and Gardens program. And also on Sunday, August 5th, it's at 1 p.m. Soldiers on Skis, 10th Mountain Division. It's a lecture by Flint Whitlock, a veteran author and historian. He's going to talk about soldiers who train for winter warfare at Camp Hale near Leadville, Colorado. The lecture will be held in the Pioneer Room at Trinidad State Junior College.
And at St. Joseph's in Springer, St. Joseph's will be having their second annual Catholic Church Reverse Drawing Dinner and Auction. And that is on Saturday, August 18th. Dinner will start from 4 to 5 p.m. and then the auction at 5:30, reverse drawing at 6:30. And this will be held at the Springer National Guard Armory. And this is to raise funds for the parish building's maintenance and upkeep. You can contact Eliseo Espinosa at 505-440-5261 or the St. Joseph's Catholic Church office, and that is 483-2775.
And R.W. Hampton came in yesterday and sang a couple songs for us. We got to talk to him for a little while, and he told us their summer concert series there at the Clearview Ranch is continuing on August the 3rd. That's Friday, August 3rd, with Junie Fisher. $20 tickets that get you a feed, a complete meal, and the entertainment. Go online, www.rwhampton.com, or you can call 483-0042.
Where the short grass grows.
Where the short grass grows. Isn't that beautiful? That's a beautiful song. Now, on Saturday, August 11th, the Ben Sport chapter of the Santa Fe Trail Association will meet in Fowler, Colorado, for a presentation on Charles Ottobees. Charles was a trapper, trader, scout, rancher. He knew Kit Carson, Buffalo Bill, and Wild Bill Hickok. The meeting will start at 11 with a business meeting, and then at noon, a potluck lunch, Saturday, August 11th.
Fort Union National Monument is having a special event. It's Candlelight Tours of Fort Union, the Civil War Years, happening on Saturday, August the 11th. It's a free evening event. Each tour lasts 45 minutes, and they'll be having tours start at 7:45 in the evening, 8:15, 8:40, 9 p.m., 9:20, 9:40, and 10 p.m. Photography is allowed only during this first tour at 7:45. You can get more information and register at 505-425-8025 or visit the park website. It's www.nps.gov/FOUN.
Also, Maxwell National Wildlife Refuge is having their Aim High Archery. It's August 3rd at Maxwell National Wildlife Refuge. It's from 9 a.m. to noon. Instruction is provided and all ages are invited. Also, all equipment is provided. Just make sure you bring your water and aim. And for more information, you can contact Debbie Pike at 505-425-3581, extension 205.
All right, aiming for the Folsom Museum and the Folsom Man Site Tour. They'll have a couple of expeditions out to the site on Saturday, August the 11th at 8 a.m., meeting at the Folsom Museum for coffee or tea and donuts, and then going to the Folsom Man Site. There'll be presentations there and back at the Folsom Museum for lunch. Then the second tour will leave after lunch, hear the presentations, and then drive back to the museum later. Reservations appreciated. Monetary contributions also are appreciated. Call the Folsom Museum at 278-2122, their website, www.folsommuseum.org. Our website, krtnradio.com. What's up there on that website there?
What's up there?
Web person.
Web person. Well, we have reports from both the RPS meeting last week and also City Commission meeting and also Mayor Starkovich's statement that he read yesterday. And then if you click on our details page for the TTNO, you can get all the names and numbers and web addresses that we are mentioning here on this program, this, that, and the other.
So if you missed something, do that. Also, the Trading Post is up there,
Trading
too.
Trading Post is up there. So if you're looking for things to buy or you need to sell items, you know, can give us a call, and we'll be sure those get on that site, too.
Okay. And if you're looking for vehicles, new and pre-owned, Pioneer Motors is one of our This, That, and the Other sponsors.
Hi, folks. Jeff Cook at Pioneer Motor in Trinidad. Things are heating up right now with big rebates or 0% interest. You pick. It's Ford's sizzling summer sales event, and it's going on right now at Pioneer Motor. 426 East Main in Trinidad, where you make the drive. I'll make the deal. Come and see us today. See dealer for details.
Jeff Cook from Pioneer Motors in Trinidad. Why are you so excited?
That's right, Billy. I am excited. We're having an SUV sale. Seriously, we're loaded up with over 15 different SUVs to choose from. All makes too. Ford, Chrysler, Jeep, GMC, Toyota, all priced to sell. Some new, most are pre-owned. No reasonable offer will be refused. Where? You know where. Pioneer Motor, 426 East Main in Trinidad, where you make the drive. I'll make the deal. Come see us today.
Rural Revitalization Initiative Beautification Committee has partnered up with the Folsom and Des Moines Fire Departments to provide a community fun day for Des Moines and the surrounding area on August the 4th. Many games for kids and adults, music and dancing all day long, and a backyard barbecue in the evening cooked up by the fire departments. Food by donation only. Jelaine Osborne at 505-681-2939 is the info person.
Okay, and also going on August the 4th, it's the benefit dance at Cleveland Roller Mill Museum. It starts at 4 with a potluck and barbecue, and then there's a dance at 7:30 in the evening. The Rifters will be playing, one of New Mexico's premier country western dance bands. Dance tickets are $20 per person at the door. It's free for family members 25 and younger if you're paying for the standard admission. And students are only $10 per person. For more information, visit the website, clevelandrollermillmuseum.com. You can also give Dan Cassidy a call. He's at 575-387-2645.
All right. Give a man a rope or a mic cord. In this instance, Troy Sobel is here. Hey, Troy, good morning.
Good morning, Billy. Glad to be here this morning, and we're getting closer all the time to the fair.
Colfax County Fair starting next week, huh?
Yes, sir.
All right, August 6th through the 12th.
Yes.
All right, and we're all ready.
Well, we're getting
mostly
closer.
Yeah, okay.
We're getting all the final touches put on there at the grounds, and
right up until probably
our big
the time something begins.
Our big cleanup and setup is Saturday, so you know we'll get a lot of the work done then and get everything set and ready to roll.
Ready to go. And it starts on Monday in Maxwell, actually, with the Queens contests and the
yes.
interviews and the fashion show. And then the speeches, and then on Tuesday morning, they're at the Springer Fairgrounds.
They'll start there at the fairgrounds Tuesday morning with their horsemanship, and from there, things just get busier.
Okay. All right. Very good. And a few changes this year.
Yes, and I guess you could say the rumor mill has been running overtime on some of this. We keep hearing that with Shelley Porter not being in the office, the extension office anymore, that we're going to do away with the quilt show and the indoor exhibits, and you know there's all kinds of things running around out there, which are completely not true.
Oh, okay.
We've had some of the ladies with the quilts really stirred up because they thought we were cutting them loose from the fair.
Well, they weren't listening to the radio, were they? No, indeed. Okay,
see,
all right.
You know, there's a bunch of stuff out there that is just completely wrong.
Well, you know, and one of the nice things about a traditional event is that the momentum and it has gained throughout those years pretty much sets the stage for the next year.
Yes.
You've got your footprint, so to speak. So
yes.
The quilt show, Sarah Kowalski moving in as the superintendent. She came in, talked about it, and 445-9806 if you have questions about her.
Yeah.
And Shelley Porter, what a great lady. You know, she did so much.
She did a lot. You know, probably the only downside to everything that Shelley did was there wasn't one person waiting in the wings that could step in and do everything.
Right, right.
And so, you know, we're having to reinvent things a little bit to make it work with the people we have. And some of the changes we've made are minor little things. And, you know, it's like the town's using the indoor exhibit building a little differently. And so, you know, we're having to adjust how we... There's new item. They put bleachers and different things in there that we're having to work around, and you know we're making some changes because we have to accommodate things that were never in that building before.
Okay, and the only other real change indoor exhibits is that now you can enter as many as you want. I mean,
yes.
that's a good change.
Yes, and we changed that, and then we also changed the way we did. We're letting the kids, the youth, enter things. You know, instead of having a limited junior open, we've opened it to where there's a youth division on all the classes.
And that's divided into two groups,
yes.
5 to 12 and 13 to 18 years old.
Yes.
So, you know, makes it fair or fairer.
Yes, and, you know, it opens it up to where there's so much more that the kids can enter in the fair now in that open area.
Right.
You know, it's not just for the 4-H kids and the FFA kids.
And I'm looking at the fair book, Celebrating New Mexico and 4-H 100 Years of History. And then on the inside cover, you've got the event schedule, and it looks pretty much like a Colfax County Fair and Rodeo to me.
Yes, sir. It's going to be a full week.
Absolutely. And big parts of it, of course, are Friday night rodeo and a Friday night dance.
Yes, sir.
And the rodeo at 7 p.m. and the dance 9 p.m. Colfax Reunion, providing both Friday and Saturday night music. And
yes.
Then open rodeo, Stephen Howard.
Yes, Stephen Howard is our board member that's in charge of the rodeo. We've changed stock contractors from last year. We've got Buster Webb coming in, and I know Stephen has said that they'll be taking entries right up to the start of the rodeo.
Okay.
So, you know, any of the locals, you know, if you don't make the call-in times that are listed for entries, show up at the fairgrounds and go to the Crow's Nest there Friday night or Saturday, and they'll get you signed up. You know, we're always happy to have as many of our local contestants enter as we can get.
Right. Let's rodeo. And then also on Saturday, that's the big day there in Springer, starting off early, 7 o'clock, pancake breakfast. Also, Knights of Columbus do their cakewalk, downtown Springer. And then Methodist Church pie, cake, and coffee. The Kids Parade comes at 10:45, and then the Colfax County Fair Parade, 11 o'clock, Saturday, August 11th. And then they're going to serve up a barbecue plate back over at the fairgrounds.
Yes, it'll start at 11, and, you know, they're already getting... I know the meat's sitting in the concession stand in the freezer ready to go, and they'll start cooking Friday night. And, you know, it's always a good deal.
Oh, yeah, $5?
Yes, $5
a
plate.
Great deal. Great deal. And then the rodeo at 1:30, and then at 7:30, always a highlight of the Colfax County Fair is the Junior Livestock Sale, Saturday night, 7:30. And we'll broadcast that in
yes,
its entirety again. And also then the dance, again, Colfax Reunion. So,
yes, sir.
Now, you still looking for vendors?
Yes, sir. You know, we've got a couple coming. I know I've got an ice cream vendor and I believe a kettle corn vendor coming. We've got a couple of other food vendors that are supposed to be there. And we're, you know, for food, it's $100 this year. And then if it's anybody that's got jewelry or crafts or anything like that, you know, we're not charging a vendor fee there this year. So
great.
And you know, if so, those folks want to show up, they just need to get hold of me. And we'll reserve you a space.
Okay. And nonprofits hand out information, that kind
yes.
of stuff, too. No fee. Okay.
Yeah. You know, we're trying to get more people to come down and set things up. And so, you know, we've got, with the way we're doing the Army this year, I think it's really going to have a lot more space in there. And so, you know, we're going to have lots of places for people to set up and sell goodies. And we'd really like to see it filled up again.
Great. Okay. And you can camp. You can camp there at
yes.
the grounds if you want. And rodeo admission, $6 for adults, $4 for seniors 65 and over. Children 8 and under get in for $3. And then if you have an exhibitor armband,
yes.
it's $5.
For the kids, and the board discussed it, and we're going to set it up for the 4-H parents this year. They can buy their own armband for $12 so that they don't have to stop and pay every time they come through the gate
either.
Oh, okay.
So that'll be for the whole week.
Yes. You know, so we're going to try to make it a little easier on some of the parents.
Okay, great. And just a sidebar, Barbara Arco was named to the 4-H Hall of Fame in the state of New Mexico.
Yes, sir. She was. You know,
congratulations to Barbara. She's helped with the Colfax County Fair.
Yes, she's been a long time board member and just all around general help. You know, if there's anything we need, usually if Barbara's there, she just pitches in and gets it done.
A very deserved recognition. So, okay, anything else, Troy?
No, I think that's it. Just, you know,
is that all?
Hopefully we'll see lots of folks Thursday morning when we take entries there at the Armory, and you know, we'd love to have everybody bring their sauces or their baked goods or their crafts, or you know, if we don't have a category, bring it down and we'll get it entered somewhere, and we'll get something else set up for it next year. You know, we're always looking to expand it, and you know,
okay, indoor exhibit registration at the exhibit hall Thursday, August 9th. Not this Thursday, but August 9th from 8 to 10 a.m.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then the commercial booths will set up. And let's see. They do the horse show on Wednesday.
Yes, and that's an open horse show. You don't have to be a 4-H or an FFA member. It's open to any youth in the surrounding area. And you don't, you know, in Colorado, you know, we don't have to be a resident of Colfax County to enter the show. And speaking of that, the one thing that we are not certain of right now is we are going to have to do some health inspections on the livestock coming in because of the vesicular stomatitis outbreak that's going on now. There are some rules that we're going to have to do there, and we're having a board meeting tonight, and that's one of the things that we've got to get set. But you know, we will have a few checks that we have to do because of that.
Okay. Well, so you'll pass that along, and we'll tell people about it.
Yes,
that,
sir.
I'm sure.
As soon as we get policy set, we'll get the information to you and get it out.
Okay. Great. Troy Sobel, thank you so much. If people have questions or whatever, what's your number again?
My cell phone is 447-0012.
Okay, real good. Thanks again. Colfax
Thanks, Billy.
County Fair and Rodeo coming up quickly.
Yes, sir. We appreciate everything you do.
907 and in Colfax County, one of the finest eating and staying establishments anywhere is the St. James. The St. James Hotel and Restaurant in Cimarron has been a part of our Western history since 1872. And from the beginning, it was known as one of the finest establishments in the West. From its Wild West beginnings, the St. James has been newly remodeled and renovated. And in the restaurant, you can savor the upscale comfort food from tasty soups and house-baked breads and desserts. Steaks, bison burgers, trout, shrimp, salad bar, and more, plus a daily breakfast buffet. The St. James Bar offers a variety of fine wines, beer, and cocktails. And if you want to have a true Old West experience, kick off your boots and stay in one of the original rooms where Buffalo Bill, Annie Oakley, Zane Grey, Wyatt Earp, Jesse James, or Billy the Kid stayed. It's the West, but it's far from wild. Accommodations include a variety of singles, doubles, and family rooms with private or shared baths. You'll enjoy the simple but elegant ease of the St. James 19th century furnishings. For reservations, call 376-2664. That's 376-2664. The Express St. James Hotel and Restaurant in Cimarron. Well, technology does me in again. All right, this cell phone over here. Kathy McQuarrie is in here at the studios. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Bill.
All right, speaking of technology, I'm assuming you're in here representing RPS?
I am. Okay. I'm here to speak this morning in regards to the public hearing that we have that the City Commission has scheduled for this evening. And first of all, I'd like to thank the public for becoming involved and engaged in this actual discussion and the proposed ordinance that is on the books for the City of Raton, as well as for supporting RPS and the position that we have taken. And there's a lot of people out there that, you know, have become engaged in city government and what is going on. So to that respect, that is a positive thing, and we're happy that people are paying attention and out there doing things.
I have lived here most of my life, can't remember a certain subject garnering this much interest and generating this much interest, maybe except for the track fire last year. But yeah, it does have people taking notice.
It
and
does,
paying
and
attention.
I think one other thing that had taken place, maybe what I believe it's close to 40 years now, is purchase of Eagle Nest Lake and the water line. That was very obviously the commission at that point, you know, pushed extremely hard, had it on the ballot, I think once or twice prior to it being passed by the people. But there was a huge effort by the community overall out working to engage the people and get them on board to support that as well. So
it didn't pass right away.
No.
Yeah,
the first couple of or at least once that I'm aware of.
Didn't pass right away.
Yeah. So, again, thank you for everyone being involved, and I highly encourage everyone to attend the public hearing this evening. Sign up and get ready to speak. And it sounds like from Mayor Starkovich's comments this morning that if you do not sign up prior to the meeting, that you will have an opportunity to speak as well following that. You'll just be down the pecking order, so to speak.
Yeah,
so
that was my understanding. And so, yeah. And I'm sure there will be several who want to be heard. So
right. And I just wanted to comment on Mayor Pro Tem Candelario's comments this morning. It seems as if that there is still a lot of misinformation that's being disseminated. And, you know, it's unfortunate. We've had this discussion now for at least, two full months? And the commission, or at least Mr. Candelario, is still under the impression that RPS has not been willing to work with the City of Raton, and that's just not correct. We have been willing and able to work with the City of Raton. There's been numerous attempts to hold a meeting, a joint meeting between the full City Commission and the full RPS board, and that has not been able to be put together for various reasons, but I won't go into that right now. And I just want people to know that RPS and the board of directors are very interested in the economic development of this community. We are not here to stand in the way of that. It would be insane to think that we don't want to sell more electricity for the benefit of this community, to be able to benefit business and incoming business. I think, unfortunately, the situation that we find ourselves in is probably more of a detriment to bringing in new business and bringing in the economic development that everyone is striving for. So with the conflicts, that always has an adverse effect on the outside looking in. We, you know, those of us obviously are right in the middle of it, but those outside that are looking to relocate or looking to establish a new business within our community obviously are looking at these things as well. And so, you know, RPS has strived and will continue to strive in the long term as well as the short term to bring economic development to this community and do that. There was mention also of the 2% that Commissioner Mance had requested for a franchise fee. Actually, you know, that would place RPS's board in direct violation of the contract of which we are bound by, which is Ordinance 942. So to just say that we can go and kind of tweak our budget and find monies to disperse in a different method than what's laid out by that contract would be obviously malfeasance on our part. And, you know, we're not going to go there. It's not because we don't feel the city of Raton should have additional monies. And, you know, and another point that we've made over this few months of debate is that that fee actually affects every individual that pays the electric bill. So that would be an additional charge somewhere down the road if we're going to increase that amount of money that has to trickle somewhere, either off the top before it goes into the buckets or following that at the end. So, you know, there's effect by, you know, or affect by everyone it, should that take place. But just to let you know, the RPS board is a professional board. They take their job extremely seriously and have looked out for the long-term benefit of this community. We are always in discussion as to what needs to be either repaired, fixed, replaced, or what other energy opportunities may be out there for us to be able to look into and engage in down the road. The new contract that's going to go into effect February 1st is with a company called Encirco. We negotiated with them, and we feel that for the long-term viability of this community, negotiated very wisely for a 6.2 energy rate, which is a 10-year locked fixed rate.
Can't go up.
It's not going to go up. So the fuel costs are going to be held strong and firm for 10 years. So that's not a short-term sighted thing. That is a long-term. And during that time, we obviously have the ability to negotiate not only with Encirco, but other entities, and in coordination with Encirco, come up with additional energy, either generation or provisions, to be able to move forward with this for the community.
What ultimately happens is that regardless of what the utility is or the situation, ratepayers end up paying.
They do.
I mean, we pay
all
for the information.
We
end up doing that. So, and you said this Encirco is next year?
Starts February 13th.
February 13th.
Right.
Okay. And then
2013.
So we'll be completely done with our ARPA.
Right. Correct. That contract or that settlement agreement ends January 31st.
Okay.
So.
Very interesting. I went to the RPS board meeting and was an eye-opener for me. And I think maybe until the last two or three years, the city commission meetings were pretty much the same. It was the commissioners and maybe one or two people in attendance,
right,
who had business. And then once they did their business, they left, and the city commission was pretty much left alone. And now there's added emphasis and awareness, as you said, not only for the city commission, but the Raton Public Service Board. And was not overwhelmed, but was rather it opened my eyes as to the complexity of many of the issues that RPS deals with.
Well, and I think along those lines, you know, people don't realize. I mean, again, you know, we walk in, we flip the switch, and the electricity comes on most of the time, which is what we attempt to do. Mm-hmm. So, and also with your water. I mean, you know, you turn on the faucet and the water comes out. And the intricacies of making sure that continues to happen on a reliable day-to-day basis with, you know, with the finances in respect as well, you know, each one of those boards have a duty and also look at everything that it entails to provide that electricity or provide that water. It's not just as simple as, you know, flipping the switch or turning on your faucet. So, yeah, there are a lot of things that go into providing those services for the community.
Well, and as we said, as I said today, water and electricity have to be like two of the most important commodities on earth. And exactly. And they really are. So that it's no surprise how much interest this whole subject has garnered. And I'm also, as an outsider or as an observer, noticing, too, that there are some intelligent people on Raton Public Service, Raton Water Works, and the Raton City Commission. So I just feel that this can be worked out. And there's no reason not to believe that we all can use these assets. And I think you stated at the RPS meeting, and again here today, that, you know, RPS is willing to look at anything that will enhance and further Raton's economic goals.
I mean, exactly.
It
exactly.
not only helps us, it helps RPS.
It does. It helps everyone in the community and all of us out there as business people, as people that represent boards, whether it's RPS or the Water Board or the City Commission, are interested in maintaining and encouraging growth within this community. I don't believe there's anyone that isn't looking out there trying to figure out a way to enhance where we live and the business community in which we live in. So with that, you know, I think it's unfortunate that statements like that are made.
Well, it's a breakdown in the communication. Don't know what, you know, where it happened, what happened, whatever. But definitely come to the table. Everyone needs to come to the table and present just exactly what is reality. What are we dealing with?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So please show up tonight. Take your opinions and voice them, whether they're, you know, in favor or in opposition. You know, it's important that you speak.
And it's important that you have passion, but be nice. You know,
right.
Nobody's...
Well, there's no reason to be disrespectful
no.
at whatsoever on either side.
Exactly.
So, you know, we can accomplish a lot of things when people are forthcoming, honest, and respectful in the dealings of which they are engaged.
Right. Lay it out on the table. Absolutely.
Exactly.
And if you start calling names or whatever, then people don't listen. They don't hear what you say. So.
Exactly. All exactly. Right. And you know, there is work, you know, works going on. And I didn't have an opportunity to hear Mayor Starkovich yesterday morning on your radio, but I did see it on your website and I did read the story. And, you know, it's reading that yesterday or listening to that yesterday, people probably... To me, it looked like there might be a door that was opening somewhat. Unfortunately, with the comments that were made today, I'm not sure if that crack was quite as wide as I had hoped. But let's please try to open that door, let the public know what's going on, where we're headed with this, and move to resolve this issue. It's only going to continue to... be a detriment to our wonderful little town if we don't come to a resolution with this and work for the benefit of the community.
Absolutely, and it's one of our strong points, both of the water and electricity. So thank you very much again. Kathy McQuarrie, Raton Public Service Company Board of Directors and President. So tonight, again, 6 p.m., Raton City Commission meeting room, and we'll have it here on KRTN AM 1490. Thanks again,
Kathy. Thank you.
9:23 a.m. here in the Rocky Mountain West. And let's see what else we have in our hands here. Oh, here's another asset, First Street Market on historic First Street in Raton. Homegrown, homemade, and supporting New Mexico and regional farmers and producers. Shop at your local farmers market every Saturday on historic First Street, 1 to whenever they sell out. Homegrown, homemade. It's the First Street Market. And coming into the studios is Sandy Mance this morning. Sandy, good morning.
I didn't realize it was that late in the morning. I'm going to lose my job.
Oh, no.
Anyway, there were several things that have been back and forth between RPS and the city. And I think there's right and wrong on both sides. And some of the things that I did want to correct, maybe if people didn't know, I know RPS has been accused of having a meeting in the violation of the Open Meetings Act when they hired the attorney and the two commissioners were not present. Well, I would also like the public to know that I was never asked if we were going to hire an attorney. And I think it's very sad that we have come to this, that we both have had to hire attorneys to get this done. Chris Candelario made a statement this morning about asking them to give the lower wage people, asking them, meaning RPS, the lower wage people, I believe it was a 2% pay increase. As a commissioner, I also ask that we give our lower paid people the pay increase. However, almost all of the city workers have been given a 3% pay increase after having to have them furloughed last year, which I don't believe is a prudent fiscal decision, but I'm only one of the commissioners. Charles had asked RPS to decrease the cost of energy adjustment from 0.091 to 0.085. And I went along with the resolution and helped pass it because I felt people had done their homework. And then I went back and asked for the numbers or different information actually from the bills for RPS for the last 9 months. And discovered that they are actually undercharging people on that cost of energy adjustment. It's by my calculations, it's actually costing RPS 0.093, and they're charging 0.091. It is true that when they put the energy on the grid from ARPA, we are charged 0.085. However, by the time it gets here and we have the line loss and we have the distribution, what we're actually selling the cost is at 0.093. So I wanted to try to make that correction. Charles also said they weren't in compliance with the PRC. RPS isn't under the PRC, and I think he's just making a mistake like I often do in names, but they are actually under the municipal utilities statute is where municipal utilities come under, not under the PRC.
Public regulation.
Yeah, not under the public regulation. The other thing, and I'm extremely disappointed, I had talked to Mayor Starkovich and said that I was willing to go through this proposed amendment and come up with the changes that I thought needed to be made, but I wasn't going to waste my time if no one was going to listen to me. So I did make the my corrections, and Charles was starting to go ahead and add some of those corrections to the amendment. And I had been told through the rumor mill that it was going to be passed exactly the way it was presented. So I talked to both the mayor and to Chris Candelario, the mayor pro temp, and they said, "Oh no, no, no." But when I went to City Hall today to pick up my packet, unfortunately, there's not a, an amended proposed ordinance. So I'm very disappointed in that.
Now, can the public view that proposed ordinance before tonight's meeting? Is there on the website?
It's still on the website.
Still on the website.
It's still on the website, and as far as I know, there have been no corrections made to it.
Okay.
At least that I've been made aware of.
RattoneNM.gov is the website.
Correct.
So, get as much information as you can.
Exactly.
And that's what you have to do to make an informed decision.
Exactly. You have to go out and do your due diligence, as people say, or, you know, do your research. Don't take everything that people tell you as fact, especially if it doesn't seem that it's as fact. Mm. Do your own research and come to your own conclusions.
Well, we try and get it as right as possible here, but again, mistakes can be made. We are humans after all. And
true.
So, but we try and correct ourselves as soon as we can. And let's see, you mean everything on the internet isn't true?
Oh, yes. Read the blog.
Okay. All right. Well, so tonight, and this affects everybody, water and electricity, we all use it, so it affects everybody. Ratepayers for Raton Waterworks and Raton Public Service. So be informed and let them know how you feel.
Exactly. And on a more positive note, I would like to thank the faithful people who have served both on RPS and on the Water Board and the people that have stepped up to serve on the Commission. None of these are easy jobs, and it takes a lot of dedication. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of compromise. And so I would like to thank all the people that serve and say I often don't agree with you, but I really do appreciate you.
Very good. Thank you, Sandy Mance, City Commissioner. 9:30 a.m. here in the Rocky Mountain West. And let's get to other information going on in our area. You know what might do us all good is to dance a little, huh?
Dancing would be absolutely great. Might bring down some rain, too.
Yeah. Oh, hey, great idea.
Yeah. And if you would like to register for the Raton School of Dance, registration is happening starting tomorrow. And it will run Thursday, Friday, and Monday in the afternoon. And that's located at 130.5 North 2nd Street here in downtown Raton. They're celebrating their 23rd dance season. They'll be providing baby ballet, basic combination class, tumbling class. There's also an adult tap class. And instruction for all the dance classes begins on August the 27th. Raton School of Dance also carries all of your dance supplies. So if you have questions, call Kathy, and she's at 445-8108. You can also give her a call on her cell. It's 447-7349.
Are you math-oriented? Are you math? Are you good at math?
Up until fifth grade, and then something happened.
Oh, okay. I just wondered. I just wondered because you said it 130.5 North 2nd Street.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. That's how
she has it
on there. But it's 130 and a half.
And you mentioned the other day that means it's upstairs.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I knew it was located upstairs,
well,
but I didn't know that the and a half just signified that it was upstairs.
Well, sometimes it does. Sometimes it might not. Might be next, you know.
Okay.
But in this instance, it does. And boy, the Honeyfields they have just made that a beautiful building. You need to go upstairs.
Okay.
It's a full dance studio with the mirrors and the wood floors, and it's really, really, really nice.
Well, I've seen the postings of the dance recitals at the Schuller, and they look really fun and really good.
Yeah, they do a great job. But again, and as a matter of fact, sometimes when they need rehearsal space, they'll use the dance studio for the Schuller. They may have a dance company coming in or whatever early, or a big company. And Mark and Kathy, very, very generous with their asset here. Now, back to the Schuller Theater, Lip Sync 2012, August 17th and 18th. General admission, $5. Seniors, $4. Children 12 and under are $3. Lip Sync 2012, August 17th and 18th at the Schuller. Call Eileen for more information, 445-8107.
Also, Cimarron Ambulance Service is having a fundraiser. It's for the purchase of new equipment. They're also having a spaghetti dinner. It's Saturday, August 4th. It's from 3 to 7. It's at the Sister Hildegard Parish Hall in Cimarron, New Mexico, and that is part of their fundraiser. The cost is $5 per plate, and you can dine in or carry out.
On Saturday, August the 4th, the Colfax Democratic Party is having their meeting at 5:30 p.m. at K-Bob's here in Raton.
The Willow Springs Quilt Guild will hold their monthly meeting tomorrow at the First Presbyterian Church on 3rd Street in Rio Grande at 5:30 p.m. And then on Saturday, August 11th, they'll have their workshops and open quilting from 10 to 2.
Gate City Lodge number 11, AF and AM, is meeting on the first Thursday of each month. So their meeting is coming up. It is going to be on August the 2nd.
Insect Rally, Maxwell National Wildlife Refuge, first ever, is on August the 18th, which is going to be a Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1. Debbie Pike. There's a K in there somewhere. Debbie Pike, 505-425-3581. It's free for the Insect Rally, Maxwell National Wildlife Refuge, Saturday the 18th of August.
Also on the 4th, which is this Saturday, Raton is having their recycles. It's the first Saturday of every month. And they are accepting aluminum, tin cans, plastic number 1 and 2, cardboard, mixed paper, and also they're accepting computer and electronics. So anything, keyboards, mice, monitors, etc. That's from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and it's at the RMX building at 420 East 4th Avenue.
August the 7th, the Queen Esther Chapter Number 1, Order of the Eastern Star, will be having their stated meeting. It starts at 7:30 in the evening at 945 South 5th Street.
Raton Nursing and Rehab will be having their blood drive Thursday, August 16th from 12 until 6 p.m. at the Raton Convention Center in the Bruce King Room. To schedule an appointment, contact Ana Luisa Coronado, 445-2734.
Well, so this is going to be the last time you do this, that, and the other, Sherry?
I don't know. Is it going to be my
well,
last
I hope
time,
not.
Billy?
Well, maybe for
maybe she'll
being paid.
Oh!
No, you can come in anytime. I'm serious. You can come in anytime. As a matter of fact, would you do some more since it's going to be your last? You know,
sure will.
Yeah, here. Give her a big stack.
And I popped in on you on Saturday, too.
You did. Yeah, that was fun. That's good. Always good to see you. Absolutely.
New Mexico Highlands University here in Raton will be having a GED examination on August 6th and 7th. The last day to register is this Friday, August 3rd. Space is limited, therefore early registration is recommended, and you can stop by 130 Park Avenue to register or pick up a GED schedule. Their office hours are from 8 to 5, and for more information, call them 445-0445.
There's going to be some construction projects here, some street reconstruction that we'll need to be aware of. Intersection of 9th Avenue and South 4th Street, that's by the Raton Convention Center. It's going to begin tomorrow, Wednesday, August 1st, and go through Wednesday, August the 8th. Also, in addition, repairs scheduled for the far eastbound lane of Tiger Drive between 4th and 5th, and that's going to be August 3rd and August 8th between those two time periods. Also, Grant Avenue, south towards the intersection of Highway 87 on Cedar Street, from Grant Avenue towards the intersection of Highway 87, the Clayton Road, going to be reconstruction, W.M. Serrazio construction, and the city doing that. And that also begins tomorrow, Wednesday, August 1st, and will go through October 1st. But there will be access to the businesses, Motel 6 and the All Seasons and the Dairy Queen there. So the traveling public advised that you might see some periodic lane and full street closures. You'll see heavy equipment, truck traffic, men working. So please watch out.
Colfax County Fair Car Show is happening, and it's sponsored by the Roadrunner Car Club on August the 11th.